Today on Real Radio.
If there's Bible in your heart, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. God cast out his will. He seizes your heart because there's something to grab onto, and he brings you in to that place that he would have you to go. You come to church with expectancy. My goodness, if I can't, through the Holy Spirit, minister to you, then go somewhere where you can be ministered to. Don't come here because you like how thick the seats are and comfortable they are. Go where you can grow. But by all means, grow.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're now looking at chapter 16. Paul takes some directions from the Holy Spirit of the Almighty to preach here and there. And that's certainly something we would expect. But at one point, the Spirit of God forbade the preaching in Asia, and Paul had to obey. Let's continue with his presentation called Follow the Leader. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Ask him to give you guidance. Put him first. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. And all these things, your job, your career, your school, your home, your child, that promotion, your parents, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. That's a promise. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's the first thing. You know, God tells us in the Bible, don't be like the dumb donkey. I like the old King James Version better. He says, don't be like the dumb ass who goes around having to be led by a bridle and a bit. I don't know where you live, but in Chino Hills, there's a ranch right by our house, and this guy's got the most beautiful, I think it's a mule, really, but it's beautiful. But you pull up there and you go, hey, mule, hey, over here. And you're like 5 feet from the guy. He won't even look at you. Hey, dummy. You know, you're jumping up and down, and, you know, he's just dumb. Or he's thinking, to me, what a dummy I am, you know, for talking to. God says, don't be like a mule. Don't be stupid. I want to lead you by my right hand. So then why do we bump into walls? Why do we get a bloody nose? So much of our Christianity, we look like we're leaning on the back sliding glass door of the house. You know, we're just our face pressed up against the door there because we're not following his lead. Delight yourself in him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that radical? Gosh, I think I want to serve God and do something for him. Who could that be from? Delight yourself in him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Second thing, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you ought to go to church. And when you come to church, you ought to learn. You ought to come with your pen ready and your Bible open and a notebook in hand. Timothy was taught the scriptures in 2 Timothy 3:14. The scripture says, but you must continue in the things which you learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from your childhood, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. What a great verse that is. Go to church. Learn. If you're coming to church to be entertained, with all due respect, go somewhere else. Well, where's the skits? Go down the street and watch a skit. Well, aren't we going to have a drama? Go down the street and watch a drama. Learn from the Bible. Learn from the truth. It is the Word of God that will go into our hearts. And it's got a funny thing about it. The Word of God has got like barbs on it, so to speak. You know, when you're fishing, you want to make sure that you send your bobber or your lure out into an area where there's no reeds or branches. You ever done that? You put your thing out there and whack, you just caught a tree. the Word of God's like that. You cast, or God casts out, so to speak. And as His hook comes into your heart, if there's Bible in your heart, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. God casts out His will. He seizes your heart because there's something to grab onto, and He brings you in to that place that He would have you to go. You come to church with expectancy. My goodness, if I can't, through the Holy Spirit, minister to you, then go somewhere where you can be ministered to. Don't come here because you like how thick the seats are and comfortable they are. Go where you can grow. But by all means, grow. The third thing is be in the right place at the right time. And this is funny. Jack, how do I be at the right place at the right time? Well, delight yourself in the Lord. Go to church to learn. Third thing, be at the right place at the right time. What do you mean? Book of Numbers, chapter 9. Great chapter, you ought to read it. Book of Numbers is a great book. But Numbers chapter 9, the children of Israel are learning how to follow God. So what does God do? It says there that God shows up with a great pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And He's leading the children of Israel out across the land, teaching them to be disciples, to follow Him. And it says in Numbers 9:23, at the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. When God says stop, they stopped. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. You read Numbers chapter 9, and it's so outrageously great. God is there, and it says that we stood there for a day. We set up our camp. It was either for a day. Can you imagine setting up your camp? You ever done that? You set up the camp. 2.5 million people. Moses goes, all right, we're camping here.
I don't like this spot.
Moses says, we're camping here. They set it up. Cloud begins to move. All right, pull up the stakes. Here we go. And you read Numbers chapter 9. It was a day. Maybe God didn't move for a month. Maybe He didn't move for a year. Whenever He moved, they had to get up and go. Why? Teaching the disciple how to follow. We need to be at the right place at the right time. Where is the right place? In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord, your path is determined. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Be in His presence. When is the right time? Can I say this? All of the time. All of the time is the right time. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him. That is, God, I'm going to ask you now to direct me and lead me. I don't know what I should do about this. And all your ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Every time God has spoken to me personally, it's been, by the way, while I'm moving. And I need to say this or qualify it. I may not be moving physically, but I'm moving in my heart. It's interesting to me that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, the Bible says there, but to those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they won't faint. Before you run, before you walk, you've got to be waiting on the Lord. But when you're waiting on the Lord, the whole thing presupposes is, God, do you want me to go somewhere? God, do you want me to do something? What are you going to wait on the Lord for if you have no urgency within your heart? And some Christians have become so complacent, they have no direction. They get up in the morning, they live half their week, and then their life is dead. God hasn't used them. They're just like, man, I don't know, man. I don't know what the deal is. I just feel empty. Listen, you don't go down to the showroom floor over here at Chino Hills Ford and buy a car with no steering wheel inside of it. Well, I'd like to take that one right there. You don't buy that car. In fact, without thinking about it, one of the first things you do is you get behind the wheel. And you try it out and you see how it handles. God does the same thing. God, we're there, and God's got us on the showroom floor. He's invested the Bible in your life. You're saying, well, you know, nothing much going on in my life. God's not using me, and God comes over to you, and there's no wheel for him to hang on to and steer you about because you're really not willing to go anywhere. A disciple is a follower. A follower moves. You can be standing still, that's okay. In your heart, you are moving for God. Don't get busy, get still in your heart. You can be doing 1,000 things, by the way, and be still in your heart. And that's a wonderful place to live. In fact, you'll have so much peace that it'll drive people up the wall. And they'll say, I need an answer now. Well, then don't ask me. When anybody's in a hurry, it's not from the Lord. Remember that. Whenever God's done anything in my life, it's been while we're rolling, so to speak, and he'll turn. The fourth thing, some of you parents of teenagers aren't going to like this term here. I couldn't think of any other term. Hang out. Mom, I just want to hang out. What does hang out mean? Well, in this context, it means hang out with God's people. Timothy was a guy who hung out with God's people. It says in 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy and the laying on of hands by the elders. Timothy was hanging out with God's people, so things happened. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, don't forsake the hanging out with God's people. Well, I don't need to go to church. Well, you should go to church. I don't need fellowship. Yes, you do. You need to start dwelling with God's people. Let's keep going here and try to, with the time remaining, pick up some ground here. Listen to this. It says in verse 3 that Paul wanted to take him with him and to circumcise him. Why circumcise him, Paul? You guys just went through a big argument about how the Christians didn't have to be circumcised. Listen, this is a decision not made out of commandment. It's a decision made out of love. This is fantastic. They just said last week, you don't need to be circumcised to go to heaven. So now we got Paul saying, Timothy, you're going to need to be circumcised. To be saved? No. But look, because your father was a Greek, we're going to be ministering to both Greeks and Jews. You know what? It'd be wise if you got circumcised because they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to receive your ministry. We deal with this every day in our lives, people. It may not be circumcision. Somebody will say, Jack, can you fill out this? I'm filling out this application to get involved, to get into this Christian college or this Christian university or whatever it is, and I'm supposed to fill out a reference. You know what? I could really forego the whole thing if I would just go to their place of work and ask their employers or their peers and their boss, what kind of guy is this? That's all I need to ask. All I need to do is call their employer. Yeah, John's just applied for whatever. What do you see of him there? Talk to me about him. You'll know everything from what the boss has to say and what the coworkers have to say. And then when you go in for the final note, you go and you ask the wife or you ask the husband. That's what counts. How we conduct ourselves. Is it legalism for me to say to you, hey man, tomorrow at work, don't tell a joke that could be taken wrong? You might say, well, that's pretty legalistic. It's just a salesman joke. No, wait. Is it lawful for you to tell the joke? Probably. It's probably okay. Is it wise for you to tell the joke? No. Are you going to lose your salvation if you do? No. But what damage are you going to do if you do say something that is off-colored or tainted? You see what I'm saying? Be careful. Timothy, let's get you circumcised. Why? I just thought the decree was, hey, Timothy, well, this has nothing to do with law. It has everything to do with love. We don't want to cause anybody to stumble. Well, we're sharing with those Jews. We don't want them to say, I'm not listening to this message. This guy's not even circumcised. Forget that guy. Forget your message. No, it's out of love that it needs to be done. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I am free from all men, and that's the traditions of men and the demands of men, I have made myself a servant to all people that I might win the more. Isn't that radical? When you go to Russia, you know what? When you go to Russia, you eat like the Russians, at least when you go with us. Yes, you can go and stay in some Western hotels, and they're only about $500 a night. So if you got that kind of money, God bless you. I guess he has. But we go and stay at the $8 a night places. And we eat like Russians because we're with Russians. And when we're on the streets, we invite Russians to come and stay with us in our rooms. And there's, in fact, we tell people, leave your jewelry at home. When you buy clothes to go to Russia, we ask people to go to the local thrift shops and buy their clothes there if they want to do that. Or bring your clothes that you're wearing. Don't buy too fancy of clothing. But be ready to give off your back what you've packed. You come strolling in with diamonds hanging off your ears and off your hands. And, you know, Nike shoes or whatever. And they're like, just this guy had nothing. He can't talk to me. This guy doesn't even know where I'm at. I'm trying to find a carrot to eat. So we eat bread and water and cheese. Could we go down to Pizza Hut? Yes. Could we go to the Subway? Or Baskin-Robbins, they're a Nevsky Prospect. Sure we could. Do we have that freedom? Absolutely. We even got the money. But do we? We do not. So that we might win one more Russian to the faith. We need to be sensitive about that stuff. A disciple is thinking about that. Paul said, I'll give no offense, no occasion for anybody to stumble in that way. So let's keep going. It says in verse 4, and as they went, I love this, circle this in your Bible for a moment, as they, circle they, went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in the number daily. Why? They taught the Bible. They gave the Bible. So the church grew. Now when they, this is Luke writing, so those guys had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia. Listen to all these names. I love it. We're getting out into missionary territory here. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Real quickly, I thought Jesus said go into all the world and preach the gospel. So Paul, and you know that guy, he's gung-ho, he's crazy. Let's go, let's go. He's moving. So they try to go into the area of Asia, and the Bible says there in verse 6 that God forbade them. The word in the Greek forbidden means to prevent, to hinder them greatly, or it's the word used to keep a troop from advancing. God, listen, God did this to keep them from sharing the word in Asia. Do you have a hard time with that? How many times have you and I said, why doesn't God do this? It's a good thing. The message is correct. The vessels that he's using are correct. So why doesn't the door open? He gave us the word to go. How come we're not going? Why won't it work? The Holy Spirit forbade them. Look at this. Look at verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit did not permit them. And this is understood, listen, by most scholars, that this is where Paul got very, very sick. Look at verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And came down to Troas, they literally did. It's understood that this is where Paul got very, very sick. God had to deter Paul from his missionary venture, most scholars believe, by getting him sick. You read the rest of the epistles, and Paul says, man, I became sick, but it was to the glory of God. Christian, we're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to handle setbacks in ministry? Are you willing to handle disappointment when your disappointment comes from God? You run full speed ahead. God's word says this, let's go. And slam. And you see Paul trying to go north, up into the northern regions of Turkey. It won't work. Tries to go to this area to the northwest. It won't work. God's shutting the door. Why? He's trying to get them to Europe. And Paul is so stubborn. Remember Agabus? We'll come to him pretty soon, the book of Acts. Anybody who owns this girdle, actually has a wraparound type thing. Paul wasn't into weird stuff. That's the word that they used. This wraparound. Whoever owns this wraparound Agabus put around himself will go to Jerusalem and be bound and imprisoned. And everybody starts crying, oh, it's Paul's. It's Paul's girdle. And Paul shows up and goes, what are you guys crying about? And Agabus, the prophet, just said that and this is yours and you're going to be in prison. Paul says, shut up. Give me my girdle. And he wraps that thing on. He goes, I don't care about prison. I don't care about getting arrested. I'm ready to die for Jesus Christ. Now get out of my face. That's the kind of guy he was. So this guy, Paul, is sharing the gospel, and the Lord says, don't go somehow. Maybe it was a dream. Maybe somebody spoke. Don't go to Asia. So Paul keeps trying. Verse 7 says that the Spirit did not permit them. And we understand from other scriptures that Paul became very, very sick. And God had to curb his direction by sickness. And if you're caught up in the word faith movement, you have a hard time with that because that's anathema. Well, let me tell you. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that his sickness was from God and God used it. Whatever you're going through now, Christian, if you can raise your hand and confess, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but man, my world's falling apart. It's falling apart to the glory of God. I got fired Friday, Jack. How can that glorify God? I don't know. It just will.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Follow the Leader, a look at the first 15 verses of the book of Acts, chapter 16. We'll continue in our journey through the New Testament book of Acts on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you haven't yet visited SoCalProphecyConference.com, please make a note to do so. SoCalProphecyConference.com, where you'll be informed on the Prophecy Conference happening here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills next month. Now, as we've been telling you, this isn't just another prophecy conference. You'll be intrigued by the prophecy material, to be sure, but unlike events in recent years, the contributors, the speakers, will pull no punches on the topic of what is possibly the greatest threat to Israel, the U.S., religious freedom, and in fact, global security. For the registration cost of $25 for the entire weekend event, it really is a good value. We simply want to get the word out. SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You can also call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. And if you're looking to make a contribution to Real Radio, all of which is tax-deductible, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.